You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark, the second chapter. We'll see if we ever get there. It's been good, amen? Mark, the second chapter. We've been teaching on good God, bad devil. You know, pretty simple stuff, you'd think. It's amazing to me how many people don't really realize that. You know, you see evil in the world and wickedness in the world, and we have this idea that everything that happens is God, and it's not a biblical idea. It's a religious idea. It's a church idea. It's something you hear a lot in church, you know. God bless churches. We're pro-church. But the idea that everything happens is God is just foreign to the Scripture and foreign to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, he went about changing things and fixing things and righting wrongs and healing the sick and raising the dead, casting out devils, stopping storms. And so everything wasn't wonderful and everything wasn't great and everything wasn't going along the way God wanted it. Because Jesus wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have changed anything. He wouldn't have tried to fix anything. And even in all these people coming to Jesus to get help, obviously they believed something was wrong, and now God had showed up and they knew God could fix things that were wrong. They didn't think what was going on in their life was God. They ran to God to get out of the things that were going on in their life, those sicknesses and those diseases and death and so on and so forth. They ran to Jesus. They would come flock to Jesus. They would crowd around Jesus trying to get help because something was wrong. Something was wrong with the world. And that's the Bible picture. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us the world was good when God made it, but God made the world in such a way that it had the possibility that mankind, had the possibility of choosing evil. You know, God made Hitler, but he didn't make him to do what he did. He made Hitler with a choice, and Hitler chose wrong. You can't blame God for the wrong choices that Hitler made. You can't blame God for the destruction of the killing of 6 million Jews. You can't blame God for any dictator or any child molester or any rapist, are you with me, or any murderer or any thief or any liar. You can't blame God for their decisions. The only thing you could blame God for is that he gave them the possibility of making the wrong choice. But the problem is if you don't give them that possibility, then you can't make the right choice. All right, there's no real relationship. Just like this, the word we heard here about relationship, getting into God's presence. God longs for us to come to him, but he doesn't want to make us come to him. He wants us to choose to come to him. And that's why it means so much. That's called love. Amen. Because you choose to serve God. You love God by choice. He didn't force you to do that. You could go somewhere else and do something else. But you choose to love him, and that means something to God. And God chose to love you. That's called free will. The problem with free will is that you can choose against God. You can rebel against God. That's what Adam did. That's what Satan did. That's what's wrong with the world. God owns the world. He made the world. He's going to come take it back. But right now, free will's going on. People are choosing sides, and if you want to know the truth, you need to choose God's side now. You don't choose when the battle's over. You choose before it's over. Good news is we know how it's going to end. Amen? So you can actually choose the winning side before they win. Amen? I know the outcome. I know who wins this deal. So I'm choosing right now. I'm choosing God. He's the one that really cares about me and loves me. He's the one, you know, that's on my side, not the world. And the world is in a mess. The world was created good in the day that he made it, but it went into a mess when Adam sinned. The Bible says by one man sin entered the world, and through sin came death. Death wasn't something God did, and sin wasn't something God did. Sin was something man did, and when sin was conceived, then death came. We know that. Scripture is very plain. And the Bible also tells us, Paul told the Galatians, that Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil world. Everybody say evil world. Now think about it. God didn't make the world evil. He made it good. So the evil came later. The evil came from Satan. It came from Adam. It came from us. You know, Paul, when God moved on Paul, he was on his way to Damascus. Remember, he's going to persecute all those Christians in Acts the 9th chapter. And he was on his, or 8th chapter. It was the book of Acts. It was in the Bible. He was on his way to Damascus, 9th chapter. On his way to Damascus, and a great light shone, and Jesus appeared to him, you know, and he told him that he was raising him up to go to the Gentiles. Paul recounts that when he's talking to the King Agrippa in Acts 26. And he said, the Lord told me that I was raised up and sent to the Gentiles to turn them from the power the power of Satan unto God. Amen. Like the world's kind of under that power, under the power of Satan. You know, that there's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2 tells us about. And it's in the world, you know it. All you got to do is turn news on. You can see it going on after country after country after country. The stuff that's amazing, it appalls me and you as Christians that goes on in the world. How could that possibly happen? Because there's a spirit in this world. It's not God's spirit that's moving and working in people's lives. It used to work in your life, in my life, where I got saved. It's subtly moving in the world. And so the Satan, the deceiver who deceives the whole world, Revelation 12 tells us that. Satan, who is the prince of this world, Jesus says that in John 12, John 14, John 16. He literally says that he is the prince of this world. That's the problem. And so when Jesus comes on the earth, he comes fixing these problems. He comes healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, right? And we looked at that woman that was bent over 18 years in Luke 13 over the last few weeks. We've been teaching along these lines. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmities." And then later on in that chapter, he said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, be loosed from her infirmity?" Who bound her? Satan. It wasn't God that did that. God wasn't behind the sickness and disease. In fact, if Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, then when Jesus comes along, he showed us what God's will was. He showed us what God wanted. And people understood that. They knew there was something wrong with the world. And they flocked to him to get help. Are you with me? Because something's not right here. Sickness and disease and poverty and those things. Listen, you're not going to have that in heaven. That God didn't make us that way. The world is that way. What's wrong is not God. What's wrong is the world. And what's wrong with the world is sin. And it goes all the way back to Adam. Now, one day Jesus will come back and fix all this stuff, but it hadn't happened yet. But it will happen. It will happen. And last week we mentioned Matthew 13. You don't turn there. Would y'all let Mark 2? Okay. Last week we mentioned actually the man with the withered hand, Mark 3, and also Matthew 13, where it says a man went out and sowed a field, and during the night someone came in and sowed tares. And the next morning they got up, and his workers went out and says to the owner, the master said, "Lord, where'd all these tares come from? Where'd all these bad seeds come from? You made this is your land. You made this property. You sowed this property. We were with you when it happened. And now there's all these bad seeds." And he says, "An enemy hath done this." Hello. Although it was his field, and although he did originally sow it well, someone else came in and sowed evil. And Jesus, when he explains that parable in Matthew 13, we went over it, he goes on, he says, the enemy, he said, the field is the world. He said, the enemy is the devil. Now, when you see things going on in the world, I don't know where we get this idea when someone gets sick or somebody loses a loved one or a car accident happens, someone dies, we'll say, well, God had a plan, God had a purpose. No, I want to tell you something. An enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. Now, one day that enemy won't be here. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation chapter 21, 22. And did you know what? There'll be no more dying because the enemy won't be here. There'll be no more sorrow. That's literally what the Bible says. Why? Because the enemy won't be here. But there is an enemy down here, and the Bible tells you to beware your adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And you don't need to be afraid of him, but you need to be aware of him. You need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. There is a battle going on in the world. There's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your children, for your business, and for your health, and right on down the list, the church, your city, your state, and your country. There's a battle going on. But we as Christians do have the authority of the name of Jesus, and we can pray and we can make a difference. And all the scripture, New Testament, New Covenant, tells us that we should be doing just that. We should be praying for one another. Amen. We should be lifting up one another. We should be loving one another. Amen. We should be conscious and aware of the devil out there, but not afraid of him, but just conscious and aware of. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So if anybody needs to be in fear here, it needs to be the devil, and he needs to be afraid of us. But the problem is we don't always know that. We're not always aware of that. And he doesn't need to be afraid because we're ignorant. Not stupid, just ignorant, not know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, so that's why we teach. That's why we get the Bible and go over these things over and over and over. Yeah, there's something wrong with the world, but it's not God. It's the world. There's something wrong with the world. And the reason it's in the mess it's in, it's really, you know, when you really think about it, it's, there's no other way to do this thing. If God wanted us to have free will, he had to give us the choice to choose wrong. And that was the risk that God took. Are you with me? You say a risk. Yeah, well, it was a risk because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but people do go to hell. But for anybody to go to heaven by choice, he has to allow people to choose not to go to heaven. Are you with me? It's just the way it is. It's called free will. It's called love. It's called real relationship. You know, you don't. We're not cavemen. We don't grab women by their hair and beat them on the head and drag them to the cave. You know, hallelujah. There's, we even have laws against that, don't we? You know, there has to be consent and so on and so forth. And so, you know, it's a relationship is two people consenting, two people relating. And so God wants that. He doesn't want to dance with a mannequin. He doesn't want to dance with a robot. He doesn't want to pay anybody to dance. He wants you to come and dance freely. But you can reject it. And many people have. That's the sad part. But if you're going to have real love, you're going to have a real relationship, you got to have, there's always that risk. Amen. And that's the risk that God took to have real love. To have people that really love him, that he could really love back. And you say, well, it's a big, why did he make the world that way? That's why he made the world that way, so we could all choose. And you know what? He took the rap. He actually sent Jesus, who didn't do anything wrong, but he sent him to die for everybody's sins. So anybody did mess up, anybody did choose wrong, got another chance. You can call on Jesus, hallelujah. And God paid the price for all your sins and all your bad choices and everything. And that's the gospel story. You know, although God didn't do anything wrong, Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin on him. So anybody, even though he knew he made the world that way, he knew that possibility was there for anybody to choose wrong or right. He knew we could sin. And you know what? He made provision if we did. And that provision is Jesus. So there's no excuse for us not winning here. There's no excuse for us not going to heaven. A lot of reasons, but there's no excuse. Are you out there? So when you see Jesus healing people, that's just showing us what God does. That's God fixing things. We went over that last week, you know, the man with the withered hand, that when he healed that, he said, stand forth. He said, stretch forth your hand. And his hand stretched out whole and was restored like the other one. The wording says restored whole like the other one. So that hand was not meant to be withered. It was made to be whole. Well, what made it withered? An enemy hath done this. Every sickness, an enemy hath done that. God didn't do it. Defects in babies and so on and so forth. See, there's a devil out here. I mean, come on. It's not always the sin of the person that's got the disease. It's not always the sin of the family that has a baby born. This world is a fallen world. There's things messed up in this world. This is not heaven. This is not, yeah, sure. Surely you got that figured out. This is not heaven, okay? Now, God doesn't rule everything down here. I know we hear that a lot, but that's not what the Scripture teaches at all, by far. I mean, it is so far from what the Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches very plainly, you and I have decisions, and people can make wrong decisions, and the devil's down here doing stuff, and he is the prince of this world. He didn't make it, but right now he's ruling through people and through us. Hello. And Jesus, man, he came down here fixing stuff and straightening stuff out and healing sick people and you know, stopping storms and raising people from the dead. If that was God's will, then he'd left it alone. And really, if people thought that was God's will, they wouldn't have run to Jesus. Are you with me? To find out, you know, to get help to change what was God's will. Mark 2nd chapter. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to have to get my cheaters out. This is just another miracle, another healing that took place. Is this helping anybody? Okay. Because this is a big issue, you know, in theological circles. Good God, evil in the world. How do you reconcile a good God with evil in the world? Well, it's pretty simple. If you understand God didn't do the evil, But if you understand free will and real love, then you understand that evil had to be an option. You can still choose it. Anybody ever sin? Okay. Is that God's fault? No, that's free will. That's choice. All right. Mark, 2nd chapter, 1st verse says, again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. I love that. It was heard that he was in the house. And that's significant because the word got out that Jesus was in the house. See, this is where faith starts. Faith starts with first hearing. You know, if you don't hear, then you're not going to respond. You're not going to come. That's why people spend so much money, businesses, corporations, and advertising and talking about, you know, things we have on sale, and we got it at this price and that price, and this is going, because if they don't tell you, you don't know. You know, you just show up. They're not banking on the chance you show up. They're letting people know. They're advertising. They spend billions of dollars on advertisement. Well, we are the advertisers of God. Are you with me? We ought to be telling people about him, like the young lady, that little girl came up here and shared her faith in Jesus Christ. Wow, it's a powerful statement, powerful testimony. You know, we got to do that. Well, it was heard that he was in the house. It got around. Bartimaeus, remember blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road? He had to hear. They were talking about Jesus, obviously ahead of him, as he was coming down the road, and Bartimaeus heard it, and he said, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. You know, he heard Jesus was coming, and what that meant was healing had come. Miracles had come. God has shown up. And when God can fix some of this stuff that's wrong. Never was a question in their mind that God did what was wrong. They knew God didn't do what was wrong. See, the church wasn't confused in the early. You find here in the Bible, they weren't confused like many of us are about God doing everything bad. They knew things were bad, and if they could just get a hold of God, they could get the bad fixed. They didn't blame God for the bad. Are you out there? In fact, they heard Jesus was coming. What does that mean? Hey, we can get some help here. Let's go to Jesus because he's talking about God, and boy, he's got miracles and signs and wonders. Let's run over there and get God to fix us because something's wrong with us. And so it was noise. The King James Version says it was noise that he was abroad, or heard he was abroad. And immediately many gathered at the door, the second verse says, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Man, I love that. That's what we preach. We don't preach our opinion, our idea. We preach Scripture. Even all that long introduction I just gave, used up half my time because I got on late because the Holy Ghost moved. Move, Holy Ghost. Amen. Even though move, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Even that long introduction, I don't know how many scriptures I quoted when I gave that introduction. If you were listening, I was quoting scripture after scripture after scripture and referring to scripture after scripture after scripture. I preach the word. We don't preach opinion. We just preach the word. What does the word say? Okay. And he preached the word to them. Many gathered at the door. I love that. No longer room to receive them. Love that. That was a common problem. You know, and I think it's interesting as the story goes on about the guys that bring their friend on that man sick of the palsy. They had to deal with a crowd, didn't they? Did you know you always have to deal with a crowd? You always got to press through a crowd to get to Jesus, it seems like. Sometimes it's a crowd of thoughts that want to keep you out. You know, that woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5, says she came through the crowd, pressed through the crowd and grabbed the hem of his garment. I like that. Blind Bartimaeus had to holler over the crowd. Son of David, have mercy on me. He hollered and screamed over the crowd. His disciples tried to keep him quiet, and the Bible says he cried out all the more, louder. So sometimes there's a crowd of thoughts, crowd of doubts, you know, crowd of people you've heard that don't believe like you believe or don't believe the Bible. There's all that. You're going to have to press through that crowd to get to Jesus. You're going to have to center in on make this thing simple and quit being so complicated. Come on. It's real simple. God loves you. His word says this. Do you believe this? Press through the crowd. Amen? Press through the crowd. And so here they were. They had to deal with the crowd too. They found some way to get through the crowd. In their case, they actually took the roof off, hallelujah, to get to him. You know, they couldn't get through the door, but there's always a way. Always a way to get to Jesus. This is a door that God never closes. You hear about closed doors, and God opens doors and shuts doors. Jesus said that you know, opens the door, no man can shut it. I shut a door, no man can open it. But God never shuts the door to him. That door is always open. He said, if any man come to me, I'll no wise cast him out. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's never too busy for you. He never has a reason to not meet your need. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. That door is always open. You can always get to him. So even though there's a crowd, even though there may be a million reasons you can come up with, you know, for not getting your miracle or not getting an answer to your prayer, there's a lot of reasons you can come up with. There's no excuse for not getting a miracle. God says you can. And God says you can get an answer to your prayer. And God says his door's open. We know that. Amen. So all the reasons you come up with for not getting an answer to your prayer just makes you not getting an answer to your prayer more reasonable. So quit making up reasons why you can't have what God says you can have. Quit making up reasons why you can't receive an answer to your prayer. Because all you're doing is making it more reasonable for you not to get an answer. Y'all have to chew on that one. That's good. That's better preaching. Y'all are amen. Sometimes we're too smart for this. I don't think you can be too dumb to get healed. I think you can be too smart. All you got to do is believe. It doesn't say anything about being intelligent. It just says, do you believe? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Woman, your faith has made you whole. When Jesus saw their faith, it was all about believing. It's about trust, you know. So it says they came, third verse, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Four guys. We don't know their names. We don't know who they were. We didn't even know this guy's name. We just know this guy was paralyzed and on a bed, and they brought him to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good friends. Those kind of friends you need. You know, that's another reason you need to be in church. You need these kinds of friends. You need these kinds of friends that will pray with you and that will believe with you and that'll stand behind with you and be loyal to you and bring your name up before the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Are you out there? I got real tickled. I was listening. Charity was talking about a letter that Trenton just sent her that he just got, and it was a real funny letter. He said he's having a big time. He's really enjoying it. He said he just has a few problems with some of the guys wanting to jump the fence at night trying to get out. He said, you know, trying to basic camp, you know, boot camp. But then he said about a lot of things. I had my birthday, and he said all my brothers, 76 of them, I think, or how many it was, he said, sang happy birthday to me, you know, and that was a good feeling. He says, oops, I gotta go. I gotta get to church.
That's good.
I didn't know I was gonna have that reaction, but anyway. That's the kind of friends you need, amen. Wherever you are, you need friends to go to church. You need friends that love Jesus. You need friends that know the Lord, amen. And that's the thing I told Trenton, of course, over and over. Is get you some good Christian friends. You know, we talk about, I think about the military, and you know, there's so much about being a man, being macho, and I tell you, real men love Jesus. Real men stand up for Jesus. Real men pray. Real men stay faithful to their wives. Are you with me? That's what a real man does. So whatever you do, especially if you got kids or grandkids going to the military, that's something you ought to tell them over and over. You know, you're trying to be a man, you want to be a man, fine, okay. We'll see what kind of man you are. You make a stand for Jesus, don't you back down. You live for God and you stand up for Jesus, and you be the best guy on the team. I mean, you do everything, do extra. Get all the awards you want to get, do it, go for it. You know, don't cry, don't whine, don't moan, don't groan, don't give up, don't quit, and don't stop loving Jesus and standing up for Jesus. And that's when you find out whether you're a real man or not. So, I apologize. I don't know what came all over me. I had a Starbucks this morning and everything. I don't know what. But these were good friends, okay? They came to Jesus with this man. They knew if they were, that's the kind of friends you need. They said, we got to get this guy to Jesus. If we can just get him to Jesus, we can get him some help. You know, and those are the kind of friends everybody needs. Keep you coming to Jesus, keep bringing you before Jesus, hallelujah, keep praying for you, trying to get you in church, get you right with God, get you serving God, hallelujah. And they did, and they got there. But when they got there, they couldn't come near him, the fourth verse says, because of the crowd. There it is again, dealing with the crowd. But that's not an excuse. Are you with me? That's no excuse to quit. They couldn't get near because of the crowd. They didn't get discouraged. They didn't give up at the first obstacle or roadblock. They did not quit. You know, they just pursued it. They believed Jesus was reachable. In every one of these cases of individual healings you see in the Bible, New Testament, Jesus, it's amazing the persistence and the passion that these people had. And we often miss that. You know, we often wish we could get healed like that one with the issue of blood, or like this man sick of the palsy, or blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. But we often leave out the fact that they would not be denied. This woman pressed through that crowd, grabbed his garment, for she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, shall I be made whole. She wouldn't quit. She wouldn't give up. She didn't let the crowd keep her from Jesus. Bartimaeus didn't let the crowd keep him from crying out and calling out to Jesus. Didn't let the crowd keep him from believing. He kept believing and kept crying, kept calling. This crowd didn't keep these men from getting their friend to Jesus. You have got to have an unshakable faith in this fact that Jesus is reachable. You can get to Jesus. If you're serious enough and passionate enough, just like we had that response to the Spirit there where Tina came down and said, I want more of him. I want to get closer. I want more of his presence. You can. You can have more of it. Yes. Yeah, as much as you want. As much as you're determined to get. As much as you're passionate to have. I think in most of the time, prayers don't get answered because we're not passionate in our prayers. That's really faith. You know, we say passion, but faith is a passion. It's a not being, it's like Jacob wrestling all night and not letting go till you bless me. Hello. Not going to quit, not going to give up, not letting anybody talk me out of this. I'm setting my face like a flint. I'm focused in on this. I am not going to be denied. I believe what God says. I'm going to receive what God says. God loves me. God's for me. And if God be for me, who could be against me? And greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. I'm going to get my miracles. God said I could have it. And it's nothing but the devil trying to keep me from it. Not gonna quit. No, we're gonna see this thing through all the way to the end, and we're gonna win.
Amen.
We're in it to win it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So they decided, well, hey, let's climb the roof. There's got to be a way to get to Jesus. We can get to Jesus somehow, some way. Well, we can't get through the door. Well, let's go through the window. Well, I can't get through the window. Let's take the roof off. There's an idea. And they climbed the roof and took the roof off. Let them down through the roof. I mean, they got a front seat. I mean, they right there. There he is right there. Get the rope. They let them down through there. You couldn't get a better seat. And can you imagine what's going on in that crowd? Jesus preaching the word to them. And they hear this crinkly poppy, you know, whatever is going on. It's kind of like I think our bass was out. Monitor something was just going nuts up here. You couldn't hear it that much at the back, but the front was pretty loud. I went back here and had a microphone. I didn't know my microphone was on. Thought it was the bass. But with all that going on, you know what? We just persisted and God still moved. Did you notice that? Even with the roof coming off, the miracle still took place. Can you imagine how disrupting that would be? Here comes first the tiles and all the insulation falling down. And then a guy comes down on a rope. Hello. I mean, there must have been a lot of people there thinking, what is going on in this service? This is the most, you know, untraditional service. But there was passion, there was determination, and they wouldn't quit. They just wouldn't quit. And it says here, they let him down through the roof, got a front row seat. Fifth verse, when Jesus saw their faith, well, I love that. Did you know faith is noticeable in the way you act and the way you will not be denied? That's faith. And their actions showed what they believed. That's what James said. He said, you tell me your faith. I'll show you my faith. I'll show you by the way I live, the way I act. And so that persistence, that determination is what Jesus saw. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there, religious authorities, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Only God can do that. Well, that's true. Only God could. But, you know, he's actually the Son of God. Are you with me? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned among themselves. I love that because there's a difference between reasoning and perceiving. There's a difference between what you know in your heart and what you're thinking about. Are you with me? And there's a difference between reason among yourselves and perceiving in your spirit. See, Jesus, God said in Isaiah 1st chapter, he said, come, let us reason together. I think that's the problem, isn't it? We all go reason amongst ourselves, and we don't reason with God. God has the final word. Well, I think, well, really, it doesn't matter what you think. I'm sorry, Bubba. But I think a lot of things too, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. Yeah, but I think, well, you know, it really doesn't matter what I think or you think or anybody thinks. What matters is what God says. And so Jesus perceived in his spirit this, so reasoned among themselves. And he says this. He said, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Why do you do that? Why do you reason among yourselves like that? That's interesting, isn't it? Why is it we try to figure out every reason in the world not to get a miracle, not to get our prayer answered, not to serve God, reasons why we can't make it in this life, reasons why we can't be what God says we can be, reasons why we can't do what God says we can do, reasons why we can't have what God says we have. We come up with all kinds of reasons. We have more excuses than you can shake a stick at. I mean, we come up with everything. Why is that? Why don't we just trust God? Woo. Oh, I'm talking to somebody now, I can tell. It's getting quiet in here. Then he says this. He says, well, which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk. Oh, I love that. Man, I'm running out of time, but I got to get through this. I love that. How many of you could say your sins are forgiven? I think we could all say that, couldn't we? Yes. No problem saying that? Why is it so hard to say I am healed in Jesus' name? When you sin and you commit a sin and you ask God to forgive you, do you believe he forgives you? Or do you just keep praying that prayer over and over and over and over? Or do you say, God, I'm sorry I did that. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. I confess my sin, and he that confesses sin, God's just and faithful, forgives our sin and cleanses from all unrighteousness, and we walk away. And it may come up again. We may think about it again, but I've already prayed about that. All right, turn it over to God. I'm forgiven. It's under the blood. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven, right? Well, why is it so hard to pray to be healed? It's just as easy for God to heal as it is for him to forgive. I tell you where it is. It's in our head. That's where it is. It's in our head. And it's a physical thing, you know. And you say, well, I prayed, nothing happened. Well, you don't know that. I mean, you probably didn't if you say that. But when you pray, things happen, although you may not feel any different. Just like when you pray to be forgiven, you don't always feel forgiven. Sometimes the guilt of that carries on a while, but you know the word says you're forgiven. You carry the symptoms of guilt and shame a lot of times for sins that you've committed, even though you've turned it over to the Lord and he forgave you when you prayed, right? Well, sometimes you're praying and believing you're healed, and it doesn't manifest right away. You carry the symptoms of it, maybe the pain of it, but you know what? You know God healed you because he heard you when you prayed, and Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. But you believe you received them right then when you prayed. The symptom may carry on for a while, but you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. One's just as easy with God as the other. And he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I love this, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go your way to your house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all, and they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. They glorified God when he was healed. They didn't glorify God when he was sick. Sickness doesn't glorify God. They glorified God when he was healed, and that's the pattern you see all through the Bible. People glorify God when they got the miracle, when the cripples walked. Are you with me? When the blind eyes saw. Not they didn't glory in their sickness, and sickness didn't glorify God. Healing glorified God. Why? Because sickness wasn't God. Healing was God. Healing fixed sickness. healing fixed crippled legs, which were made to walk. That's what God made them for originally, but something happened, an enemy hath done this. Are you out there? Eyes were made to see, and when a blind eye is healed, then they see, because that's what eyes are made to see. And the truth be known, if we had a cripple up here that was healed and all of a sudden their legs, just strength came to their legs and they walked off and eyes popped open and they saw, we'd shout, we'd holler and scream, but you know what? He'd be just like the rest of us now. Because we all walked in here and we all see. Something was wrong with him. Not his spirit. I'm talking about something's wrong with his body. Something's wrong with you every time you're sick and something goes wrong. And God makes it right. Amen? God's good.
All the time.
God loves you. He's not your problem. He's your help and he's your hope and he's your healing and he's your answer. And you need to call on him. And it's just as simple as that. Press through the crowd, okay? Press through the crowd of thoughts. Press through the crowd of doubts. Press through the crowd of all the soap operas you watch when everybody dies and gets that disease. Press through that crowd. Okay? And just get to the Word. Get to Jesus. Take the roof off if you have to, but let's get to Jesus. Your healing is not in International Outreach Church. Your healing is not in Michael Williams. Your healing is in Jesus. You get to Him. He's for you, not against you. Amen? Woo! Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Praise God. Glory!